switch over. Let's see if this works. It does. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians. Book of Philippians. I appreciate all of you being here. It's a blessing, you know, when you look out and you see people that are willing to and want to come to church midweek. Sometimes you can't. Like I said, Judy's sick. She's unable to make it. Sometimes you'll be that way. I remember on Tuesday when she was sick, she said, "Well, I'm just going to miss breakfast." And I said, "Oh, no. You got to stay home the whole meeting." And she needed to. She was sick. She would have normally probably come historically. But today, when you're sick, you know, you need to go ahead and stay home because you don't know what it is. And now, you know, they're creating virus. I mean, viruses are around that spread rather easily. And, you know, we just don't want to be that way. But just pray for her. Thank you for those of you that helped with the conference. Had a number of preachers not here. Some surprised me completely that they weren't here. Second preacher, in fact, surprised me. Pray that, you know, hearts will be touched. Thank you for the hard work that all of you put in. Let's go ahead and we're in chapter 4 of Philippians, and I think this is our 51st message in Philippians. So we'll be finishing up here pretty soon. But chapter 4, we're just going to look at verse 1, starts with therefore. Well, anytime you see therefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for? And if you go back to the previous verse, 21 in chapter 3, who shall change our vile body? Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and crowned, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, notice he mentions dearly beloved twice. So he mentions it twice in one verse, and that's interesting. Dearly beloved. I'll tell you, there are people in my life that are dearly beloved, not just my wife, church members. You should have people in this church that are dearly beloved of you. And that's what he's saying here. Dearly beloved, dearly beloved. We're going to look at some things that I think are pretty neat. Talking about the work of the Lord. A lot of people think, well, the work of the Lord is preaching. The work of the Lord is witnessing. The work of the Lord is putting a smile on your face and being decent to people. Well, the work of the Lord is people, period. So in that, is it witnessing? Yes. Is it preaching? Yes. Is it putting a smile on your face so that others see that you love life? Yes. But the work of the Lord is people. And I'll show you that a little bit later because, again, I think it's such a neat thing. But he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And let's go into verse 2. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. The same mind in the Lord. So he's preaching unity. One of the problems we have is that people, sometimes you get in your mind that I'm right. And I've told you this many times. I'm right, you're wrong, and therefore I have righteous indignation. You know, I can say what I want to say. I'm right. Or you're right and somebody else is wrong. And therefore you can, no, we need to be of the same mind. The Bible says, suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Why do ye not rather take wrong? You know what it means to take wrong? That means somebody does you wrong and you take it. All terminology we have is an old and archaic. Why don't you just take it, some people say. Well, that's what it's all about. Now, look, it doesn't mean that every time somebody does something, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be ye angry and sin not. An angry countenance turneth away a backbiting tongue. It's not always wrong to be angry. Sometimes you have to stand up and you have to say enough's enough. Because if you don't, it continues and there's a greater harm in allowing some things to continue than it is to stop it. So you just have to have that balance. And most people aren't balanced. Sometimes we say, well, we got to stand up for my rights every time my rights are infringed upon. What are your rights? Well, I have a right to always be happy. No, you don't. Even in the Constitution, it says the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So you have a right by the Constitution to pursue happiness. But what I'm saying in the Bible is just because somebody does you wrong doesn't mean that you should take things into your own hands. What we've got to do is figure out where God is in every part of the equation. And then make sure he stays as the predominant figure in the equation. But the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in thee, live peaceably with all men. When does it stop? When does it cease to be possible to live peaceably? It varies. It varies from situation to situation, but at some time you got to stand up and say, enough's enough. But it's not usually as short a temper as many people leave it at. It's not usually as aggressive as, you know, as soon as somebody does something, I mean, we're quick to fly off the handle. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving some grace and mercy to others. Be long-suffering. Be Christ-like. What's he? Gracious, merciful, long-suffering. He tells us to be Christ-like. You and I need to be the same thing. I don't know where that came from. That's not in my message as far as I knew, but it is now because it is. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to run some references tonight, so put your sneakers on your fingers. I don't know why, but hey, it just came out of my mouth. It must be said. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You'd think, well, jealousy is never godly. Well, it is in 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. In other words, it isn't just jealousy, it's godly jealousy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 1, 14. He said, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Hey, you know what? I hope you're my rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of Christ. It's not the day of the Lord, it's the day of the Lord Jesus, which every time it says the day of the Lord, that's all it says. Any other time, it refers to the day of Christ. But he says, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye are also ours in the day of Christ. I'm telling you that's important. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 8. Colossians chapter 1, verse 8. Wait a minute, that's not it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. The Bible says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present. Remember, I started this out and he says, dearly beloved and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then we looked at godly jealousy. He's espoused us to Christ. That he may present every man that way. Our rejoicing in the day of the Lord. Look at chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 8. And I want to set all this up before we go to I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll go there in a moment. That's the verse I want to get to that sort of summarizes everything that I'm telling you about these verses. Chapter 1, verse 8. Look at what Paul says. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And then he goes on and he says a few other things. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. And that, you know, he's talking about the rapture. He's talking about this is the way you need to live all your days until Jesus Christ comes back. Now look at a couple of verses on stand fast. Then we'll look at the one I want to talk about my joy and crown. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go there first. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, when this is where I was trying to get you. Because I think this is a verse that all of us need to know and need to understand and need to realize the importance of it. Let me read to you Philippians again. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So Paul's talking about somebody that's his joy and crown, those Philippian believers, but he's really talking about all believers. He is credited with being submissive to author Philippians. Now look at 1 Corinthians 9:1. Am I not an apostle, Paul writes? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Yes. Are ye not my work in the Lord? Everybody that you influence is your work in the Lord. Everybody. You influence people for good or for bad, for righteousness or sinfulness. You influence everyone. Are ye not my work in the Lord? So you know what the work of the Lord is? It's people. It's people. And that's what we have to understand. It's not building buildings. It's not anything that the world says it is. You are my work in the Lord. You know what my work in the Lord is? It's every one of you. You know what your work is? It's every one of us. It's everybody you come across. Now, let's go a little further and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Your work in the Lord. This will be a familiar passage, but I want you to now think about it from the perspective of what this means. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. Now you build upon that foundation. You build six things. Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, precious stones. If it's tried by fire, the wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up. The gold, silver, precious stones will remain. You'll receive a reward. But let's look at it from year my work in the Lord. So let's continue on. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, what's your work? It's people. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So here's the thought. Ye're my work in the Lord. People are your work. You're building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. If everything burns up, what's left? The foundation. Your soul's saved. You can't lose your foundation. You can't lose your soul. But you can lose everything that you've done in your life as far as working for the Lord if you have the wrong motive. If you have the wrong influence upon others. Why? Because ye are my work in the Lord. So every man's work shall be tried. So how you influence people, what you do in this life, how you impact others, all of that work is going to show up again at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to be rewarded or you're going to suffer loss depending upon what kind of work that you spent your life after salvation building. Of what sort it is, the Bible says. And that's all I want you to get from that. So go back to Philippians, let's pull it together. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for it, my joy and crown. You remember, you've read, you're going to receive crowns, right? Well, you're going to receive crowns if everything doesn't burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. How do you receive crowns? Well, you know, there's different crowns and all. I don't want to get into all that tonight. I want to keep it simple. Your crowns are definitively impacted by how you affect others. I'll give you an example. Today I was over at Toyota. Hope was there. Hope came out. I really needed to be in Niceville at 11:30. 10:30, I thought I was going to be finished. At 11, 11:10, 11:15, 11:20, 11:30. And it kept going. You know, and something got messed up. And Hope was distraught. She was not as red as I get. But she was embarrassed. And I said, listen, don't worry about it. And she knew I was in a hurry because I told her I can't do all that other stuff. I got to go. I got a meeting to go to. And then my point toward the end of our conversation, because then it got stretched out a little further, and it was 12:15 before I left there or something like that. And I looked at her, I said, you know, the best person for this to happen to between you and I is me. Because wouldn't it be better to have somebody like me than somebody that's irate and like the other guy that was causing part of the problem? He was irate with her trainer. And so her trainer gave me the gave her the paper to deal with me, but it wasn't right. But I told her, I said, the best thing for this to be is me. And then her boss, this guy was so tied up, we had to go get somebody else to fix it, and he never knew. He's going to fire me. He's going to fire me. And I said, just relax. And guess what? God worked it out. Now, I could have looked at that and said, I got to go. And listen, it wasn't just because Hope was there, but it did help that I did know somebody there. As I've told you, when you know somebody, you're just like, okay, got to be a good Christian now. Oh, I'm going to bite my tongue. No, I really was not tempted to pitch a fit. But she's my work in the Lord. That whole place in there's my work in the Lord. Somebody took a picture of me studying the Bible. I sent it to Arlene and Robert and Carissa because we were in a text about Robert when I was trying to go to the wrong hospital. And somebody took a picture and they sent it to me, and I was over there studying. I said, yeah, there's somebody else here. You didn't see it. Carissa's got it. She'll show it to you. So, you know, it's Wednesday. What do I do? My whole plan was, okay, I'm going to Toyota at 8 in the morning until 10:30. I'll study for 2.5 hours. That'll be pretty good. I'll get ahead. Then I'll finish up when I come. I finished the whole thing. Of course, I was there longer than 10:30, so it was pretty easy to do. I also wrote a letter to the editor. So I wrote a letter to the editor, and then they asked me to send it to Pensacola. So I went to the Pensacola News Journal, went to the Northwest Florida Rag, you know, whatever it is. But I mean, it's just accomplishing things. But what's my work? If I would have lost it today, my work would be wood, hay, and stubble. Today. Because I would have hurt my testimony. I wasn't even tempted. I mean, my biggest goal was to make her laugh. Did I make you laugh? Yeah. And I'll tell you what I told her. I remember now. So underneath the awning, my car went under the awning because it had to keep running because my battery, I said, just leave the thing running. Just tell them I don't need a battery. Just leave it running. So they parked it outside in my red truck and it's running. But you look underneath the awning and there's five white cars and there's one gray one. I said, you know what? I said, y'all are racist around here. She says, what? I said, yeah. I said, you got all the white cars under the awning and my red car's outside. And she just did that right there. She started laughing. I said, look, just relax. I said, don't worry. And she was still worried. But look, I'm just telling you, look, our work in the Lord is people. Don't lose sight of that. Do you realize that if every Christian, and I'm not saying I'm your example. I'm your example today because somebody saw me and I had the right P's and Q's going on. But when you affect people and you see people and you interact with people, what type of work do you portray? It makes a difference. I see Madeline out at the airport. I see a couple of people working. Madeline's the only other one. I said that right? You are Madeline? I've got to think it through every time. I don't know why your parents had to do the two names so close. Because it's both. I'm thinking, well, how do you do that? You got to associate, right? But both of them start with Mad. And I'm thinking insane. So I just can't visualize Madeline and go, insane. Especially when she has a smile on her face and I'm putting her on the spot. But I see her out there. And you know what I do? I don't need a cup of coffee at 5 in the morning or 5:30. Because what do I really want to wake up that early? I want to stay asleep in the airport. So I just go in there and I'll throw a tip in there. Why? Just to be nice. I know I didn't give you a tip today. You're not working for tips. But the guy that drove me in the airport, I told you about him. They were going, you got to get on the plane right now. I said, oh, no. I got to give that guy a tip. So anyway, I tip when tipping is appropriate. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have given you a tip. So let's go back to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Let's look at a couple of verses on that. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Not the first time it's mentioned here. But he says in chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation, remember your conversation is more than just your talk, it's your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So what do you need to do? Stand fast. What's the context? In one spirit, with one mind, striving, not against each other, but striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel. You know it'll revolutionize every church in America? That truth right there. Churches are notorious for being battlegrounds. You know, why? Because it's a spiritual thing. You come in with whatever. People have mindsets and they go, well, it should be done this way. Or I think I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right, whatever. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to find ways to live in unity. Now, if there's a problem with a doctrine, there's a problem with unity, because we can't have unity around false doctrine. If there's a problem in sin, can't really have unity when there's open and known sin. So we're not talking about that. What are we talking about? Preferences? Convictions that aren't just, you know, biblically pointed out. Listen, I have met people that have more convictions than God and said they had more convictions than God. Literally, during a message. I told the preacher after I heard it, I said, man, I got to tell you, you need to go back and listen to that message and hear that statement in there along with what was stated after. I said, that's wrong. And he didn't really see it that way at first. He listened to it again and, you know, they took it offline. And then the preacher said, why'd you take my message offline? I said, you ought to just put it back on there. They put it back on there, and man, the guy got a lot of heat from a lot of people because it sounded so proud and arrogant. We need to be in unity in the right spirit. One mind, one spirit. And listen, if you can't do that, just keep trying. That's all. Just because somebody fails doesn't mean you throw them under the bus. Doesn't mean you despise them. It means they are as human as you are, and they make the same mistakes you make, same mistakes I make. And nobody's perfect. And if you're looking for the perfect church, as I heard the other day, and you've heard it said before, you're looking for the perfect church, you go join the church, it's not perfect anymore anyway. All right? Because it was never perfect in the begin with. Listen, church is all about people. So if we ever lose that focus, that's why when people come through those doors and they're visitors and they see us and they meet us and they say, one of the most friendly churches, sometimes they say the most friendly church they've ever been in. Guess what? That's the way it needs to stay. Why? People are the work of the Lord. Don't ever lose it. I know I'm going to keep preaching about it because I've been in churches where people weren't the focus. I've been in churches where, you know, my way or the highway, and which side of the bed did the preacher get out of today? And I mean, it was like, who's he at? You know, who's he talking to today? Who's the innuendos about? Man, that's terrible. But I learned never to do that. So that's important to understand. So go on back to, well, I tell you what, we're in that part, stand fast. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. We're talking about standing fast. Look at verse 13. Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Boy, if we'd understand charity, it'd make a big difference. Look at Galatians 5:1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's what we need. Do you know you have liberty? You have liberty in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean liberty to sin. It doesn't mean liberty from guidelines in the Bible, rules in the Bible. It doesn't mean that. It means liberty to go to God and talk to Him and pray to Him and get guidance from Him. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't know what it'd be like not to have a relationship with the Lord. Because I get peace about a matter or no peace about a matter. And when I don't have peace about a matter, I mean, I know it. And it helps because I don't make fast decisions anymore. I used to be. I'm getting older. I'm not fast at anything anymore. I used to be a fast decision maker. And you go right or wrong, didn't matter. You just make a decision, right? Now I've slowed it down some. And I pray about it. And sometimes, like Judy, because Judy was used to me being very fast decision maker all of our marriage. And now I've slowed it down quite a bit. And it's like, did you hear me type of thing? Because it'll be like decision and I don't respond. And it's like, I didn't even hear it, but I did. It's just, I'm not sure what to say right now. And listen, that's good on my part, except that men are from Mars, women are from Venus. So you have to learn how to communicate. You still got to communicate and say, oh yeah, I heard it. Let me just pray about it. And maybe that's what I'll do. I just decided. She's not here. I can tell her I just made a decision for us. I'm going to start responding. Let me just pray about it. Because I don't usually do that with my wife. I may do that with other people, but not so much with my wife. She'll say something and I'll contemplate it. I'll start praying or I'll not know exactly how to answer, but really I need to give an answer. But he says, stand fast. Stand fast in that charity. Man, can you imagine what it'd be like if all of us had the right type of attitude toward others the majority of the time? Make a big difference. So he says, stand fast in the liberty, stand fast in the Lord, stand fast in the faith. And here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. He talks about that unity, that one mind. I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and stop there. We could go into verse 2 a little bit more, but I want to wait and do that later. So we'll go ahead and stop in verse 2. So it's 6 minutes till 8 if you're looking. And just kidding. Wow, I'm getting a look. Remember, I was nice to you today. So anyway, it's a few minutes early, but I want to go ahead and stop and just praise the Lord. I could go into verse 2, but I think verse 2 is a little bit longer, and I want to go ahead and spend some time on that maybe Sunday. But I want you to be praying for each other. We talk about it all the time. I want to make sure I repeat it. Talk to the Lord about each other. Pray for each other. Many have mentioned they got unspoken prayer requests. You know, an unspoken prayer request is just one that didn't verbalize. God knows what it is. But it's something near and dear on their heart. So make sure we're doing that. Pray for those that aren't here. Pray for those that couldn't be here. And, you know, and in my case, pray especially for Judy. Again, Debbie, Barb, Al, Anita, Robert, so many others. Anybody I just left out? I know Nancy and Dallas as usual, but any others I just skipped in that list just now that we've mentioned? Huh? Miss Millie and Donna and that whole group, and Hollett. And, what? Oh, Pam Todd. Yeah, pray for her. She's got a lot of unspoken prayer requests too, so do pray for Pam and all of her work situation, family situation, things like that. Many others. I mean, there's other things that I know are near and dear on your hearts, but just pray for one another. Let's have unity. I preach preventive maintenance. I don't think we have any disunity that I know of. And if we do, just get right with God. If you're, I told somebody today, I had a long 30-minute conversation, and I said, just do right. You know, I'm saying, you ought to do this. Well, you don't understand. I said, okay. Do right. And see, when you say that, it's like, look, maybe I don't understand. Just do right. That's it. That's the answer to everything. If somebody comes up to you and they want advice, and you give them advice and they ignore it, you know what you say? Do right. And maybe I don't understand. Maybe you don't understand, and you're trying to give advice for something outside of the realm of your understanding. You just say, do right. Do right. All right, let's close in prayer. I'm going to ask Trent to close in prayer.